Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi shows any signs of easing hardline positions, meaning the longest government shutdown in U.S. history will apparently continue for the foreseeable future. AP's Mike Rossia has an update.
The partial shutdown of the federal government enters its 28th day today with no end in sight. Thursday's major talking point was President Trump's decision to deny military aircraft for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other lawmakers for a previously undisclosed trip to Afghanistan and Brussels. Predictably, lawmakers took up partisan positions on Capitol Hill. Republican Congressman Russ Fulcher of Idaho.
I would agree with the president's move.
California Democrat Adam Schiff countered.
All too often in the last 2 years, the president has acted like he's in the fifth grade.
The president also canceled the U.S. delegation's trip to an economic forum in Davos, Switzerland later this month. Mike Gracia, Washington.
Meanwhile, one southern border state Republican, Will Hurd of Texas, has a simple message for the president and his party. End the shutout now. Shutdown now.
The way we're going to solve this is with technology. Building a wall from sea to shining sea is the most expensive and least effective way to do border security.
An overnight report claims that President Trump directed his former attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen, to mislead Congress about efforts to build a Trump Tower in Moscow. BuzzFeed News describes its sources as two federal law enforcement officials. They're quoted as saying Cohen has told Special Counsel Robert Mueller that Mr. Trump, during his presidential campaign, instructed Cohen to lie about his dealings with Russia. Then-candidate Trump denied doing any private business with Moscow. Mueller has been investigating possible Trump campaign links to Russia for 20 months. At least 21 people have been killed, 68 injured in a suicide car bombing in Colombia. It occurred at a police academy in Bogota, the capital. The driver died in the explosion. The armed rebel group ELN is being blamed for the bloodshed. This is VOA News. Amnesty International has described as shameful the decision by several European countries to block NGO migrant rescue ships from docking in their ports. The group says that policy is putting lives in danger, both at sea and in Libya, where most of the asylum seekers set out for Europe. Many European countries, notably Italy, have ended their own rescue missions in the Mediterranean, so NGO vessels have tried to fill the void. Amnesty's Matteo Di Bella says Europe is trying to outsource border security to Libya.
This has led European governments to rely on the Libyan Coast Guard not only to intercept ships of refugees and migrants at sea, but also to coordinate the rescues. The only thing that the Libyan Coast Guard can tell NGOs is to go back to Libya and disembark people there. But it is forbidden by international law to disembark people in a place where they are exposed, they are going to be exposed to torture.
A top North Korean official is here in Washington for talks with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, apparently aimed at finalizing plans for a second summit between President Trump and Kim Jong-un. Kim Young-chol is said to be carrying a letter from the North Korean leader for Mr. Trump, and there are signs he may carry it to the president himself. Earlier this week, Vice President Mike Pence said the U.S.-North Korean dialogue was promising, but conceded that Pyongyang had yet to take concrete steps toward dismantling its nuclear weapons. Some analysts go further, saying North Korea continues work on upgrading its nuclear and missile technology. With a single deadly blast this week, the Islamic State did more than rattle the calm in the northern Syrian town of Manbij. The terror group also rekindled the debate over its much-talked-about demise since President Trump announced a planned pullout of U.S. forces from Syria. He claimed ISIS had been defeated. Moments after sending a suicide bomber into a patrol of U.S. troops and their Syrian counterparts on Wednesday, four Americans and five U.S.-backed fighters lay dead or dying. But analysts who've been studying the collapse of the self-declared caliphate argue the attack was anything but surprising. For more than a year, U.S. intelligence and defense officials have warned that ISIS has found ways to adapt to its mounting losses, with enough manpower and resources to remain a serious threat. Zimbabwe is in what is described as a total internet shutdown, after days of violent and sometimes deadly crackdowns on police protesting sharp hikes in the price of fuel. The country's Catholic Bishops' Conference calls it an intolerant handling of dissent. The internet shutdown means a cutoff of electronic salary distributions to government-paid teachers and other public workers. The United Nations Human Rights Office has called on Zimbabwe's government to end the violence. Gene Randall, VOA News.
It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA.